What's up, everyone? Back again. Two weekends in a row for me. Really back to being a productive podcaster. Just me this week back on Zoom. We've got the junior development day here in Sydney at SRG Thai Boxing this afternoon. So Shane is tied up bringing some of his young fellas over to that. So I'll do podcasting duties today. But as always, one thing I've learned in the podcast game is no one wants to hear from me. So we'll just jump right into it. Joining me via the magic of the internet is Mr. Josh McCulley. How are you, sir?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Appreciate you joining me. Like I said, saves everyone from just listening to me rattle on for an hour.
Well, I appreciate having me on. Like, as we were saying before, first time I ever listened to you guys was back on when you reviewed The Fire in the Shy when I fought Nathan. So going from being reviewed to now being a guest is pretty surreal. So I appreciate it.
And hey, we appreciate you listening in for that long. I can't even believe we've been doing it that long. That's it's been a little while since that show was on.
Yeah, for sure. Back 2019, so a
couple of years. Yeah, but that is one of many stories I'm really keen to get into with you today. You've actually been quite a highly requested guest.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, when I put the call out, who do people want to hear from this year, your name popped up a couple of times. And for reasons that I'm pretty keen to get into, you know, you've been on an absolute tear. You've got quite a unique style, really been looking unstoppable, especially the last year or so. Like, as you and I were discussing before we started to record, you've taken like a massive step up in competition recently, but plenty of time to get into that. As we tend to kick off with a first time guest on the show, love to just give you a little bit of time to talk about how you got started, your kind of fighting journey so far. So yeah. I'll hand over to you just to kick things off. Talk me through how you got your start in Muay Thai.
Yeah, sure. So first started training when I was 11 years old back in 2012. So my dad actually worked with a guy that ran one of the other local gyms in town. And, you know, he wanted me to get in there to start getting some more self-defense in and a little bit more confidence. At the time, I was obviously playing a lot of sports, so like soccer, cricket. So going from a team sport environment into an individual environment kind of really struck with me. And we used to go every Friday night and go to Blockbuster and get some movies, and I'd always get the old like UFCs, and I remember seeing the old Contender series as well. So going from watching combat sports to being in it really struck with me. And it's pretty much gone from there. So no, it's a long, or well, I guess it hasn't been as long as some people, but you know, a bit over 10 years for me, which is really cool to look back on.
And like, I feel like this question comes up a lot. Like, I know you listen to the show, and hopefully you feel like I say nice things about you. But you probably also heard, I quite regularly, after you fight, I sort of review your fights, and I'm like, your dude looks 12 years old. No, that's all love. Yeah. But how old are you?
Yeah, so I'm actually 22, turning 23 this year.
Yeah, 23 years old and 10 years training already.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I've always gotten, when I was 16, I probably, I guess I look 12 now, but you know, like forever, like my dad's like 6'3", my sister's like 5'8", and I'm here 5'6". Like, I've gotten the short end of the stick for sure, but I think that's also played a lot into my success, into my career, is a lot of people have definitely underestimated me, and I take it with all strides, and I like the joke. You can call me 12, I'll say I'm 12. Tricky in the ring.
Well, that's it, right? Like, that's where it comes from, is that you don't really look 12. I think that's like it's really become your thing, right? That it's like you have this very unassuming kind of demeanor, like super friendly, like and like come across very well. You're of course like a super nice dude, but just an absolute murderer in the ring. Like, that's kind of like, that's what it is for me, that it's not genuinely like you look 12 years old. It's just that you like, you got this kind of like super like, no, like just the perfect example of someone that like you wouldn't like, some fighters you meet and you just don't expect it.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, and a big thing is, like, I don't have any tattoos or anything. So I'm, that's another big thing is, you know, he looks like he's 12 or 14 or whatever. And even in town, it's when I come into work, like, especially over last year, obviously I've started to get a bit more of a name, in, especially in our local community. And
people, no, yeah, 100%.
Like, oh, you can't, you'll hurt your pretty face and you're not going to look young anymore. And even like before they realized I was fighting, they're like, you wouldn't even think it. So it's almost like a superhero disguise, I guess. But
yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool. And you, of course, training out of Chaffee's.
Mm-hmm,
yep. Was that your first gym?
No. So like I said, I trained at another gym that my dad was with. And then when I was 13 was when I really wanted to try and fight. Like, I was training for a year. I was like, bang, yep, I want to fight. But I had to be 14 before I could actually compete yet. So that put that on the back burner for a little bit year. And then coming to 2014, I was involved in a science accident where I actually got burns to half of my body. Yeah, so I was actually, so it was a science in school.
Yeah.
And we were boiling methylated spirits, and teachers come to top up the methylated spirits, and it's actually exploded and engulfed me in flames. And I received air burns all up my back, on my face. And so going through that, I couldn't fight that next year. So moving all past like the surgeries and obviously physio cracked in my first fight at 16. So
that is crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I was 13 when that happened. So going from that to now is pretty surreal for me. But yeah.
Wow. So your in-ring debut was held back by a school science accident, and that sounds pretty deadly.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. So I received third-degree burns to pretty much all my back and my arm. I remember, so I spent 4 weeks at Westmead Children's Hospital to get like skin grafts and everything like that. And I remember they said to me, because I got burns underneath my armpit, they were like, oh, we're not sure if you're going to get full movement in your arm again. And that like took a big toll on me. I was like, that's all I want to do is just fight. And to tell me that I'm not going to be able to fight, like that took a massive toll. And once I came out of that, obviously, surgeries, and coming 2 years later, that was just my dream. I just wanted to fight. Like that's what I wanted to tick off. And yeah, going from that and being able to tick that off at 15 was pretty surreal. So,
and that's crazy as well, at that age and still just kind of getting into it, going through something as terrible as that. It was still on your mind, like what you wanted to do was fight. You weren't
I was speaking to my mum obviously the last couple of days about going over how I all got into it and everything. And she said on the second day that I was in hospital, I was just sad. I was so sad. And I asked why, and she goes, because I was saying, oh, what if I can't fight? What if I can't fight? So, yeah, it was always on my mind. And when I was having my surgeries and everything, it was kind of also a time where I really learned what Muay Thai was. Yeah. What they did was put photos around my room to, like, motivate me. And one of the guys I put up was John Wayne Parr. And at the time, I didn't really know any, I guess, Muay Thai stars or anything, and started looking up John Wayne Parr, watching all of his fights. So going through that stage, it also helped me learn a lot more about Muay Thai, which was a cool experience.
Oh, man, look, I learned something today. I had no idea that you've been through something like that. And that's crazy. And honestly, it's pretty inspiring too.
Yeah, I don't necessarily, like, I don't tell everyone, because I'm not like, I want to be like, oh, look at me, I was a burn victim or whatever. But it's been, obviously going through a lot of stuff all those years, being able to keep it behind. And fighting was also a big thing for me to help with confidence, because I was very scared to show all my scars, and having to get into the ring and having to take your shirt off, like, that was a big thing for me. And it was a big part of my recovery process as well, like, having to take my shirt off, getting the rub down in out the back with everyone looking. And I was still at like 16 thinking, oh, all these people are just staring at my scars. And fighting did a lot in my recovery process, mentally as well as physically, obviously.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool. And quite an impressive starting story. Your career.
Yeah, no.
That's it. Yeah, go on.
Oh, no, yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, it's just still, like, looking back and chatting to my mom about everything, it's, like, just crazy to see, like, even just winding it back in my mind, like, wow, I've gone from that, not being able to, scared, like, told I might not be able to fight to where I am today, so.
And I guess, like, you mentioned you've been going over this with your mom. At that age, going through something so, you know, so difficult to get through, like, what was it like on there? Like, were your family supportive of you getting in the ring, or were they a bit like, you know, after seeing you get hurt so badly, were they a little bit apprehensive about letting you then take that recovery and go and fight?
Yeah, good question. I guess at the time, obviously, we had to get all the clearance and everything, but I think my mum knew and my parents knew how much it meant to me to get into the ring. Like, that's literally all I was focused on, was getting into the ring and fighting. So they were all very supportive. My community were pretty supportive, and I couldn't have asked for a better support system around me. And going a little bit back, like, I was, before I had my first fight, I did change gyms to Chaffee's. So in 2015, I moved over to Chaffee's, and they were a big support system, helping me set goals. And I remember messaging Scott, we were just chatting away, and he said, would you ever want to fight? And I said, it's my absolute dream. And I remember looking and seeing, I'd do whatever it takes to get into the ring. So having those guys there definitely allowed me to really take where I was from and where I am today.
Awesome. That's absolutely awesome. And so you mentioned kind of your trainer, Scott, or kind of the Chaffee's. Talk to me a little bit about, like, okay, so even there, like, not kind of your whole martial arts journey, but your whole fight career has been spent with Scott. Like, talk to me about you guys as a fighter trainer kind of duo and what your training's like there.
Yeah, for sure. So when we first started, obviously, he was a big support system. He was almost like kind of like a older brother, and we still are sort of still like that. But no, when we first started, it was, you know, three sessions a week, and then obviously developing into my fight career was training mornings and night. But now going back to today, we obviously have our afternoon Muay Thai sessions. I'm doing, you know, one-on-one sessions with him, and then in the mornings I do my strength conditioning. So
yeah,
but no, we've definitely evolved over the years and obviously grown so much more closer. Like, I can, you know, his family, his dad Clint, who's also in the corner, he's family to me. And yeah, it's so good that I've got a support system and they really want to do what's right for me and in my career. So I couldn't ask for a better trainer.
Yeah, there are always big supporters of the podcast too. I always appreciate running into your guys. Scott and the team out the back. They've always heard the latest episode and always got ideas for guests. And yeah,
obviously, yeah. When I'm fighting, I don't try to listen to the podcast or anything or reviewing the fights, but they're always like, minute 54, 32 seconds, I mentioned Josh, jump on. And so, yeah, no, they're big supporters.
No, it's the best, man. I always like to know people in the community are listening. And like every time I see you guys, they're so enthusiastic. Like, it's not like, like, I know they've, like, really listened closely and kind of enjoyed it, which is sick. Like, why else do you make a show?
Yeah, no, definitely.
So off of that, like, I think, like, in a lot of ways, like, one of the reasons you've kind of turned heads, especially as you've kind of taken this step up to fight at the elite level, is you've got quite a unique style. I guess I like to ask this question is, like, how would you describe your style as a Thai boxer?
Yeah, for sure. What I believe when I was in the amateurs, I was a lot smaller, I definitely had to take a sort of a counter style because I obviously couldn't go level to level with people that were, like, adults and stuff. So I haven't really transitioned, like, my style was all counter, and then turning into professional is where it's actually changed a little bit, especially coming into the fight against Nathan. It was obviously I wanted to focus on a lot of feints, which you can probably see. I was trying to feint a lot with the front kick to the stomach, and that was all just so we could set up that head kick. And then transitioning into the fight against Jaden, same sort of things, but I feel like my IQ is the biggest thing. I guess fighting all in the amateurs and having to try and figure out ways to not get hurt and counter. And now being able to, being a little bit bigger with the power in my shots, I can still be aggressive, but, you know, I can be just out that little bit. So I definitely feel like I have a big IQ style, like a muy firma, and then trying to transition to a muy mat a little bit in the last couple of fights, just coming forward, so.
Cool. And I guess, do you feel like your style is kind of representative of a Chaffee's style? Like, does your gym have a style, or is it kind of just you've studied and worked with your trainer? Yeah. What's that like?
Good question. Scott, when he was a come forward, bang, like his name was Bang Bang. He'd just come forward, chop the crap out of your leg. And so that sort of style is what I've obviously now slowly transitioned into, which is really good. Because he's obviously that sort of style, but at our gym we haven't got necessarily one style works, which I'm pretty lucky to have a trainer that's allowed to, you know, oh, this is usually the way to do it, but hey, if this works, this works. Like,
yeah.
So again, I'm pretty lucky that I've got trainers that obviously they come from that karate background as well. So they've also got a different style there, but we haven't really got a one style works at our gym, which I'm pretty lucky. But yeah, just watching different fighters and just trying to piece it together and piece into my own style, which is obviously working now.
And I guess, do you have many other fighters out of Chaffee's at the moment?
So we've got, like, I've got a mate, Colt, that he's been training with me ever since I first started. So he pretty much, he was there a little bit before, but he's now my age and he's just started fighting amateurs. But he's good, like he's been training alongside me for the whole time, and he's 2-0 now in the amateurs. But we don't really have a lot of fighters. We might have 3 or 4 fighters, but which it is what it is. We're obviously trying to encourage people to fight, but
can't make them.
No, that's true. Like, obviously it's a big mentally as well for the first time fighters, I believe. Like, they get so nervous and they try and look up their opponents and they get in their head a lot, and then they have a bad experience and they don't want to go back again, which is hard for the younger people. But it's all a part of the learning process for sure.
And so given that it's not like a busy stable of fighters, you'd be far and away the most experienced. How does that kind of influence the training dynamic? Are you training in kind of a class, or are you more so working one-on-one with Scott? Talk me through how that's so structured.
Most of the time I'm in the class, but I would say that when I'm fighting, the majority of the focus is on me. Getting almost like Shark Tank sparring, everyone's fresh, round, new person comes in. If we're doing pads, I'm lucky enough that I'll be able to do all my pads with just Scott. So depending on what the dynamic is, if I'm fighting, I'd say a lot of the focus is around me while in the class setting. Yeah. But obviously then when I'm not fighting and there's some other guys fighting, it's same sort of thing. It all the focus transitions to the other fighter. So.
Yeah. And you kind of feel like, are you ever, I mean, I guess it's not heaps of other sort of gyms and stuff around you.
There's 2 Muay Thai gyms in town, and then there's like a jiu-jitsu gym and more karate gyms around Tamworth. So,
So are you ever kind of looking outward for additional sparring or anything like that, or you've got kind of what you need just at home?
Yeah, I believe we've got what we need. We've got a wide variety of people that do train that could be at fighting level, but they're not wanting to fight. A lot of older guys, a lot of bigger guys as well that have also had past fights. So if I'm fighting a bigger guy, I'm lucky enough I've got those bodies there, and if I'm fighting someone that's faster, we've got a couple lighter guys there that are able to emulate. So I believe we've got what we got at the moment, but we did have a local gym in Gunnedah that did come over and did a sparring day last year, which was really cool. Like, it had that, made you that fight nervous because you didn't know what you're expecting, which was pretty cool. And there's obviously, but it was almost like it was a fight, and I don't think like you really needed that hard sparring like to that extent, especially when you go to a different gym and you're going to do sparring. I guess you're sparring with the other gym, and it's like they want to knock your head off. So
yeah,
yeah, it's definitely pros and cons and risk for reward, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you talked a little bit about how kind of like you've liked to go and kind of study and have a look at other fighters. So I guess like first question off of that is like, when you were coming up, are there particular fighters that you found were kind of stylistic influences for you, like people that you used to watch and kind of try to emulate?
Yeah, I guess, as weird as it sounds, like when I was first coming up, obviously, like I was saying, I was a bit of a counter. I liked watching Liam Harrison with the leg kicks, yeah. Like the quick leg kicks. So that was a big one growing up. You know, John Wayne Parr, like with his hands, but I didn't like, I'd like to watch them, but I never looked like them or anything like that. But they were like, who I'd try to emulate, inspiring, or if I saw something on YouTube, I'd take it into the gym and try it out. If it didn't work, I'd get rid of it. But yeah, I guess the main ones, yeah, probably definitely John Wayne Parr growing up and trying to emulate Liam Harris's leg kicks.
Yeah. And in kind of a similar vein, are yourself and Scott really into kind of like studying who you're going to fight and building a game plan? Or are you kind of like a bring the same style, take it as it comes?
Yeah, sure. So Scott does a lot of studying for me for my opponents. Like yeah. I'll get a Snapchat, wake up in the morning, and he'll send a photo at 10:30 at night with my next opponent on his screen. He's watching his fight at like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, just studying. I like to watch their style. I don't necessarily obsess with their fights. I like to watch their styles, their weaknesses, their strengths mainly. And then when we come together for a game plan, we have a sort of a game plan we'd like to go, but if it doesn't work, we've got B, C, D plans ready to go.
Yeah.
So we don't necessarily have one game plan. Now, this is what's going to work, because most of the time it usually doesn't work, but we've always got backups or different ways that we can try and win the fight. So,
yep.
Yeah, so.
And so I guess like training camp by training camp, do things look different in terms of what you're doing in the gym? Kind of like, is it quite tailored to a specific fighter, or do you kind of just sort of tick the boxes the same way each time?
I guess overall, it's the same sort of thing each camp, but when we're working with pads or when we're doing our technique on the bag, we're definitely focusing on the things that we're looking to land in the fight, or looking for the game plan we want to pursue. So overall, my camps are pretty much always the same, always hard. My strength conditioning is the same. But getting to specific wise, it's definitely tailored to each opponent.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And so getting into like kind of your recent fights, of course, you were the 2022 Oz Muay Thai breakout fighter of the year. Yeah. Talk me through, I guess, let's walk through them one by one, because you did have an absolutely massive year last year. We'll start from the first. Just walk me through your 2022, who the fights were. We'll touch on the results for any listeners who just to get anyone up to speed who's not been following, but also just like a little bit like we were discussing before we started to record, how you were feeling kind of stepping up to fight some of these really big names. So yeah, let's walk through 2022. I'll let you lead it.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I guess coming off the back of 2021 with coronavirus, I only got one fight done the beginning of the year. So coming into 2022, I was like off the amateurs, I was like, yeah, I want to turn pro, ready to go. And I want to have a really busy year. I don't want to have two or three fights. I want to try and get as many out as I can. So we got the call up from Michael Green for fighting Nathan again on 1774 in February for, it was our trilogy. So we'd had two fights, one draw, and I won the other one. So
yeah,
coming to that one, and it was up weight classes as well.
That was very heavy for you. Yeah. Yeah,
62.5. And I hadn't, like the heaviest I'd fought at the time, I think, was 59.
Yeah.
So I pretty much didn't cut any weight for the fight. Like I ate normal during the week and weighed in at, I think, 62. So going into that, I was obviously a little bit nervous. It was the professionals, and like everyone was, you know, chatting. It's different in the professionals, and I knew I had to have that mindset switch. And I've said it to like a couple of guys at training. It was, I had to switch from, this is, some people that are going to be fighting the professionals, is this is their life. Like, this is how they're getting paid. So that was a big switch mentally, and I had to take my training a lot more seriously. But yeah, going into Nathan's fight in 77-4, one first round knockout, right on the bell and head with a head kick, which was pretty crazy. Like, that's what we practice, as I said earlier. But it even surprised me. I think Warriors of Mong Kong did a video, and you can, as you see him drop, it's just my face like
yeah, oh, it was crazy.
Oh my god, that landed. And then coming 4 weeks after that knockout, we got a call from Rise in Queensland, wanted me to fight Jaden Stady for the 61-kilo Rise title. Traveled up there again. I guess the Stady surname's a bit of a couple of people obviously know the Stady surname, and
yeah, big fighting family.
Yeah, for sure. And again, that was also, I guess, next step up. Like, when I went up to Queensland and was walking to the weigh-in, it was Muay Thai Mouth that was there, and they're like, "Oh, you beat Nathan, and now you got to fight Jaden." And he said, "Big tough challenge." And I knew it was, but I went out there and pretty much won all rounds pretty comfortably, yeah. which is awesome. And coming off that was, then I was even more motivated. So got a call off Chris Johnson for Destiny to fight Brandon Spain. And I'm like, holy crap. Like, after two fights, two professional fights, they want me to fight Brandon Spain. So that obviously had the nerves there, but I think you got to have those nerves, especially when you're fighting high caliber opponents. So.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Super excited for the opportunity. And there was chats that they were trying to get a WBC Australian title, because obviously Brandon was obviously eligible for it, but I hadn't been. So there was a little bit back and forth with the title, but it was meant to be for the Destiny title. And unfortunately, Brandon had to pull out due to injury. And Chris said, "Oh, just stay ready. And I was staying ready. And it got 2 weeks before, and I was like, "Oh, nothing's going to happen." And I think it was the Saturday before, they said, "Hey, we've got I can't even think of his name. The guy that was
Corey Barrett,
that's the one. Yep. And they said, "Oh, we've got him at 63.5 and I'm thinking,
"Oh, that dude's big for 63.5 as well." Yeah, that like, dude is super, super big.
Yeah, I think he probably would cut from like 67, 68, if not more. Like, but very tall. And I was like, "Oh," 1 week before, I'm Bretton ready for a 59-kilo fight. I was already, you know, in the 60, 61 kilos. And
yeah,
I was like, "Oh," honestly, I was like, "I think that's too heavy for me." Like, I obviously against Nathan, he's not as big as this guy. I was like, "I think I can bite the bullet there." But, and then they're like, "Oh, we're not going to find anyone else." And I was like, "Oh, why not? Give it to me. Give it a go." And I knew going into that fight, he's going to have the reach advantage. And yeah, I came away with the second round knockout or TKO ref. And then transitioning into November on 1774, fought Ninachai, a tie with about 180 fights. And that was definitely a tough gig to try and fight against, because he was definitely that traditional southpaw, big leg kicks. And I think same sort of thing. We weren't, I think it was about four weeks out, we didn't have anyone. And then Mark goes, "Okay, yeah, we're gonna get Ninachai for you." So it was definitely a tough fight, but I just think I definitely outpaced him. And I think that was his first fight in Australia. So getting used to the pace difference from having, you know, 1-2 rounds off to then going hard 3-4-5, me just going 1-2-3-4-5 the whole time, and getting the fourth round stoppage with a body shot. And
so that really wore him down, right? Like, I could kind of see that more traditional pacing from him. He was having a look. Obviously, you're for a more traditional, you know, like a Thai who's new to fighting in Australia, your kind of movement's quite unorthodox. So I felt like he was having a look around 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And then kind of tried to play that sit back, score the points kind of game across like round 3. But you just really, really wore him down, like weren't going to oblige.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, I think my biggest strength is my work weight, my cardio. Like, I never really get tired or out of breath. Yeah. So I really push the pace. And if I can hit a couple of body shots, that's just going to just help me go from being on the same level to really trying to break them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but in the first two rounds, it was just big kicks. And in the third round, I don't know if he was starting to get a bit tired and he started to really try and come forward and land some shots, but he just couldn't keep the pace and then got him a couple shots to the body and finished him. And then while we were in the talks for the miniature fight, Orono had come up in February. And again,
and that was a quick turnaround, right?
Yeah, that was 4 weeks. I think exactly, like 3.5 weeks or something. So quick turnaround. And I've done that a lot. Well, obviously in my amateur career, I'd have 2 week turnarounds sometimes with fights. But again, having a big year coming into the Orono fight, I definitely felt a little burnt out. And especially coming off, obviously, the June fight, thinking there could be something in September. So being in camp for September and nothing coming, and then October and then November and then December, it was tough. But I just remember thinking, I've got to enjoy this journey. Training was getting even harder and I'm not feeling as fit, and just had to enjoy the process, because obviously not many people get to experience this. And the big thing of my partner, she said, enjoy the process, just enjoy the process. So, and that was the biggest thing that got me through those 4 weeks, which was good.
Yeah, and of course, Orono in particular. I mean, a few massive wins last year, but that was a really, really big one.
Yeah, no, definitely, for sure. Again, I guess coming off the Nitro fight, fighting the tie, and I was that obviously brought some confidence. Hey, I can beat these guys. It was reassuring. And Scott was you must feel that good. And I was it was super reassuring that, I can compete with these guys at this level. Even though this is my fourth fight, I can compete. And then, going into Orono, I remember getting the message, hey, we're fighting Orono. I was holy crap. That's 400 fight. He's fought in the stadiums in Thailand and he's a good name, and, beat Anthony Pappas. And, that was big mentally as well, trying to get over, this is a tough one, but all I can do is go out there, have a smile, enjoy myself, and good things will come. And that's exactly what happened. So,
yeah, that's a good attitude. And I guess, as we said, an absolute statement year, and a year that people are starting to, it's just your weight class has really become one to watch in Australia. I feel there's a couple of guys that have really been making a name, but I think last year was a big year for you in terms of really throwing your name into some of those conversations.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, you mentioned you've had a little bit of an injury that's caused a bit of a layoff, but you're back on track in training. Got a really big fight in May, and I did get confirmation from the promoter that we're going to shout it here. So what's up next?
Yeah. So, May 20th, again, on 1774, fighting Chien Lagarde from Western Australia for the WBC 61-kilo Australian title. So, big news, cracker fight, tough opponent, big clincher, really good work rate. So, it's exciting. And coming off the back of last year, that was my next goal. I wanted to get, WBC Australian title shot, and now that's coming to fruition, and being able to fight for it's massive.
Yeah, huge fight, and no doubt one that, I think by the time this goes live, that'll be, I don't think it will have been announced by 1774. Yeah. So there you go, Josh McCullough versus Keane Lockheed from WBC Australian title, May 20th on 1774 Muay Thai Series. Do you have a little breakdown of the match? Have you been watching Keane for some time? What do you know about his style?
Yeah, so obviously, I guess we got the call around, it would have been February, with Michael, and he wanted to take it to the WBC. And yeah, obviously, we've again, Scott studied the heck out of him. I'm confident that he has. And I've obviously gone through and watched most of his fights. And now he's obviously a very big clincher. He's almost obviously he trains with Toby Smith. He's a smaller Toby Smith, with his grappling and pressure. And I know I've obviously got the disadvantage of the height, but you know, I'm ready to, you know, give it a crack, and I'm not going in there. I'm going in there to win, and going in there for to win the title. So it's going to be a cracker fight, especially that's going to be a big card. Like I've heard a couple of fights that are coming up, and to be able to have, you know, that fight on that card is pretty surreal, and makes me super excited. So.
And what does the kind of title do for you in terms of, you know, does it add a little bit of nerves? Do you feel the same way? Like, how's that kind of changed your feelings towards the fight?
Not necessarily. Like, I guess, yeah, my goal was to get the title, but not necessarily adds any nerves or anything. Like, fighting him himself is pretty nervous as it is, but
yeah,
which is with every fight, but no, it doesn't necessarily. Obviously, it's more stakes, more chips on the table that, you know, I need to train harder. I'm making sure that, you know, every 1%er is ticked off. I'm eating well. I'm sleeping well. My nutrition, you know, my training's good. I'm managing my stress, getting saunas in, ice baths. Like, it's just, it amps me up and makes me really excited that I, you know, ticking all these boxes off my training for the week and ticking it off on the calendar. It motivates me, yeah, so much more. And having those little extra chips on the table is even more beneficial. So, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, are you feeling like, I guess it was such a massive year last year. Like, do you feel like this is kind of another step up again? Mm-hmm. You know, are you feeling like becoming WBC Australian champion will kind of open some more doors for you possibly to get in some international fights?
Yeah, 100%. Like, my goal and what I want to become WBC world champion. Like, that's my goal. And, you know, getting myself to the WBC Australian title is a step in the right direction for me. Like, I feel like definitely in the since turning professional, each fight has been a bit of a stepping stone in the right direction. Fighting Nathan, who was a WBC state champion.
Yeah.
Fighting Jaden Stady, then fighting Corey, who challenged for a WBC Victorian state title and beating him, and then obviously fighting the Tigers. This is definitely a step in the right direction of where I want to go. And it's definitely what I want. And like you said about opening international fights, that's a big dream as well, being able to wake my name through the rankings and see my, like, a guy from a small town in Tamworth to see him in the world rankings. Like, that's pretty surreal.
And you mentioning that this one is going to be at lightweight at 61 kilos. That's a weight class up from what's preferred for you. So, you know, in a perfect world, is the plan for you to get this one and then go and pursue the super featherweight title too, or are you going to stick with lightweight?
So, like, yeah, I think, yeah, no, I can definitely go between 59 and 61. Like, this was the offer that we've gotten, and obviously I'm not going to say no. So we were, like I was saying a little bit earlier, we were in talks for a fight in July. That was at the 59 kilo division. So I'm happy to go back and forth. But, yeah, if we can get this one and the shot comes up for the 59 kilo, absolutely I'll take it. But I think with the 61, again, I'm not cutting a lot of weight at the end of the day, and I think that's definitely helping me prolong my career for sure. Obviously, 59 is a little bit of a cut, and it's probably where my body type would suit a little bit more. But I'm willing to go 59 to 61, no problem.
Yeah, cool. Opens up more fights for you, of course, as well. Yeah, not being fixed in one weight class.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, in the amateurs, it was obviously starting to get a little bit dry, and we were like, yep, okay, 59 in the professionals, and pretty much the whole year I didn't even fight at 59. Like, but, yeah, no, it's definitely being at those two weight classes opens up, yeah, a lot more opportunities for fights.
Speaking of fight opportunities, like, we're talking about, you know, you potentially getting, you know, cracking the rankings and starting to fight some international guys, but there are some pretty fun fights left. On Australian soil. Talk me through, if you will, kind of some of the names that you'd like to get in there with. Like, you talked about a match with Brandon Spain being made and falling through last year. I know that's a really fun fight. Your name came up. when I spoke to him, actually. Who would you like to get in there with within Australia?
Yeah, for sure. First off, my next door neighbor that keeps. No, I'm joking. obviously, yeah, there's definitely the Brandon Spain fight. Like, that's big. Ibrahim, that's another name that's we've been in circles. Everyone's saying Josh Ibrahim or Josh Ibrahim. And I definitely really want that fight. Like, he's obviously the top dog in Australia at that 59 kilo weight. He's obviously held the Australian title and then obviously got the other title. So if Ibrahim is the top dog in Australia, that means I want to fight. I want to fight whoever's, the top dog. And I guess the biggest two fights for me is, obviously my next one's massive. Obviously Brandon and Ibi are the two other big names that are get me excited. So
yeah, that's what I thought you might say, but won't speak for you. And interesting, I've brought this up on the show a couple of times. I do feel like it's an interesting little piece of context. Is like in the amateurs, you and Ibi fought.
We did back in 2019.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah, a little bit ago, but that was a. I do think that was probably one of my toughest fights in the amateurs for sure. Like, he's definitely no slouch. He's definitely good. And actually, a bit of a story. Yeah, we were scheduled for three rounds, and a couple hours before the fight, I said, "Hey, we've had a pullout. Can you guys do five rounds?" And so we're like,
"Which is not how it should work." But
for sure. But no, he's definitely good. And
I couldn't possibly guess which sanctioning body that was.
we've both like gotten so much better since then. So like, all I can imagine is the cracker of the chess match that we'd have now. Like, it was definitely a bit of a chess match with his style versus my style. And we've obviously both grown since then and getting a bit older. And it'd be an awesome chess match for sure.
Yeah, I'd definitely love to see you guys fight again. As you say, like, your styles have matured so much. You are both like really like adapted to your professional games
for sure,
both on absolute tears respectively as well, so that'd be a really good fight, and I'm sure it'll happen. I'd love to see it.
Me too.
as a fan of both of you guys, I think that'd be like really 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 cool. So I guess kind of moving on, what else is in the pipeline for this year?
So
you're looking for another busy one?
Definitely. Especially, I was hoping to get in February on the last 774 card, but obviously now we're looking at May. I could have 3 to 4 fights this year. So I guess it is a bit of a busy year. Nothing's necessarily locked in just yet. But once I win the WBC Australian title, I'm sure there's going to be big opportunities coming from that. That's for sure. And it will also definitely clear up a lot of where I'm looking to go from there. So for sure.
And you've hopped up to Queensland a few times recently. You've been fighting, you've kind of become one of the stars on 1774. Any shows in Australia that in particular you're looking to get your name on?
I guess always when I was younger, watching Rebellion, like that'd be a massive one. Like, we did get the opportunity, we got a call from is it Sire?
Sire, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure what happened there, but I didn't think we could get an opponent, or I was already matched or something like that. So that's something that really excites me. Hardcore's also looking like a really good promotion. Also Muay Thai Grand Prix, which would be pretty cool.
Yeah, really cool show.
Yeah, so... so I guess those three big ones, Hardcore, Rebellion and over in Western Australia, would be pretty sick.
Looking to get all over.
Definitely. That's the dream. The dream is to be able to travel and fight. Like, that's the dream for sure.
Yeah, and I guess interested as well. You've spent some time in Thailand when you're a little bit younger. Like, do you have plans to get back over there? Is fighting in Thailand something that interests you, or going that route to international fights?
Good question. I did, when I was 17 and 18, I just did a 2-week train and fight over there. I don't necessarily have any, unless it's like I'm loving the, like, the one Lumpini. Like, that's pretty sick. Like, if I was given the opportunity to do that, like, I'd take it, no problems. So, I guess that's really the only thing I'd probably, if I was to fight in Thailand, or if they're, like, another big stadium show over there, like, then I'd take that sort of opportunity. But I think we're, like, I've heard you say before, like, I believe, like, Australia's Muay Thai is pretty strong at the moment. And, you know, we've got what we've got here, but obviously it's a different sort of route going to Thailand and going that way. But
yeah, so, like, you know, you've only done a couple of weeks of time there.
Yeah, that's right.
Where's your spot when you go there to train?
So the first time we trained, it was Absolute MMA. We did.
Yeah, okay.
And then second year we went to Simbi.
Simbi.
Which Simbi was awesome. Like, it's like a beautiful spot. Like, the training's so good. And if we go over again, like, usually our team, we do a yearly trip over to Thailand. Eight guys over there. And obviously just due to coronavirus, we didn't get to go. So that's put that on the back a little bit. But if we were to go over again, I'm sure we would go Simbi again. That's for sure.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, like, you know, coming sort of close to time, don't want to keep you too long. Always like to as well give you the space. Do you have any kind of, like, sponsors, anyone in particular you want to give a shout out to that kind of helps you along?
Yeah, so our gym's actually sponsored by Western Ranger Motorcycles in town. One of our local motorcycle guys, they've been supporting us for many years now. Also, Massage Land has just jumped on, one of our local masseuses, Fred. He does a fantastic job for all of us fighters looking after us. So yeah, they're massive too. That I need a shout out. That's for sure. And obviously the guys watching this podcast, all my mates and everything, they've always been very supportive. Obviously being young and missing out on most parties and missing out on year 10 formals, but just so I'm fighting or I've got training on. Like, I'm very appreciative. I've got those mates that, you know, didn't bag me out for it or anything, so pretty lucky there.
Yeah, awesome. And yeah, of course, everyone is looking forward to another massive year of fights from you. Made an incredible name for yourself on an absolute tear. Some huge fights I want to see as a fan. Everyone listening, thank you for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed the episode. You can catch Josh fighting May 20th. At the Portuguese Club in Sydney. Get a ticket if you're in town. If not, it will be on livecombatsports.com.au. Tune in and support your mate Josh, and also one of the top Thai boxing shows in Australia right now. But for now, that's us. We'll leave you for another week. Thanks once again for tuning in. If you're on YouTube, hit subscribe. Give us 5 stars on your favorite podcast platform, be that Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast. That's not my business. Just shoot it 5 stars if the option's available. And with that, talk to you next week. See ya.
Thanks again for listening to the Combat Chat Podcast. You can catch all episodes on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and all other podcast platforms. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share. Follow your boys on Instagram, Facebook, @Combat Chat Podcast. See you next week.